Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, meet a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, and get an update from the senior enlisted leader of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Our differences and our diversity are what makes your Minnesota National Guard team strong. Regardless of our differences in gender, sexual orientation, or identity, race, or religion, we are united in our service. What matters in the Minnesota National Guard is the content of your character, your love of country, and your devotion to serve the people in our state and our nation. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are more than 13,000 brave, hardworking, and dedicated women and men who come from many different walks of life. Soldiers and airmen of every creed, color, and background serve together with distinction and honor. Despite our differences, we wear the same uniform, serve in the same state, and salute the same flag. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are pilots and military police, mechanics and cooks, logistics specialists, and cyber experts. These brave soldiers and airmen foster a culture of acceptance, dignity, and respect. Together, we are a team, standing shoulder to shoulder and protecting our great state and the United States of America, be it here at home, overseas, or wherever the call may take us. Our differences and our diversity are what makes your Minnesota National Guard team strong.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. For all of us that have lived in Minnesota for any length of time, we've all heard of the company called 3M. It's been a staple of Minnesota for about 100 years. And over at 3M, they are a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, which means they've gone through a process and committed to supporting our veterans and their families. And within 3M, they have an entity called the 3M Military Support Network. We're going to talk about that today with some guests from 3M, Nikki Pauly, Aaron Vestola, and Tim McElroy. And Nikki, I want to start with you. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. We're excited to be here from 3M, yes.
Nikki, I understand you're the chair of the 3M Military Support Network.
Yes, I am. I began to be in the chair role in January of this year. I was the co-chair prior for the year of 2022, and I've been involved in our MSN, Military Support Network, for the past 4 years.
And I understand you're a United States Air Force veteran.
I am. I was active duty for 10 years Air Force. I'm actually residing down in Texas, in San Antonio, where my last duty station was. My 10 years of service included three different types of positions. I was an aerospace ground equipment mechanic, or for those in the Air Force know, as an H mechanic. I worked on a lot of the equipment that supported our air missions with our planes, A-10s, F-16s, C-130s, et cetera. And then I cross-trained over to a much more marketable position. I was a financial cost and budget analyst, and including that in that position, I served both in Korea and in five other places around the United States.
And, of course, as part of 3M, being a veteran, it's probably a natural for you to flow to the 3M Military Support Network. We're going to come right back to you, Nikki, but I want to introduce Aaron. Aaron, I understand you're the co-chair of MSN, the Military Support Network. And a Marine.
That's correct. I'm Nikki's right-hand person and a proud Marine.
Proud Marine, and you understand the rules, so we got to behave on a family show.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your time in the Marine Corps?
So I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps as an infantry officer. Over that time, I did three different deployments. On a MU, I helped with the Japanese tsunami relief, and then also time down in Gitmo. I served the time as a light armored reconnaissance officer, but then I also spent some time with Marine Corps Security Force Regiment. So a bit different than Nikki in terms of the formerly marketable securities there.
And how long have you been with 3M?
I've been with 3M since 2014.
Very good. And Tim McElroy, our longtime listeners will remember him. He's a former chair of the 3M Military Support Network. He's a retired 3Mer and a retired senior master sergeant from the United States Air Force. Tim, welcome back to the show.
It's always great to be here, sir.
Tim, can you fill us in on the origins of the 3M's Military Support Network? It's pretty important.
I would be honored to. You know, really the network stemmed out of a tragedy, and our founding member was Sandy Masterson. Sandy lost her son in Afghanistan. He was killed in action in April of 2007. And Sandy came back to 3M and received a ton of support from her immediate team, but she could definitely tell that there were some other people around 3M who didn't quite grasp what was happening with our military and their deployments. So in June of 2009, we stood up the Military Support Network, and really in honor of Connor and what he did for our country.
And, of course, that got everything started at 3M and allowed you to support your reserve members that work for 3M and their families while they're deployed and, of course, get involved in the community. And that got formalized in 2009 when 3M became proclaimed as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. And, Nikki, we've done so well that 3M received the Secretary of Defense Freedom Award in 2011. I've been pretty busy over at 3M doing things for your reserve members, their families, and community veterans.
Yes, we have. Back from 2011 until now, we've built out as much of a robust Guard and Reserve support unit. Inside MSN, we are all about support, and so that includes supporting the families if our reserve and guard are activated. It also works with the pay and the time off for our Guard and Reserve members, and just in general supporting their return and their transition.
And Nikki, we've heard reports over the years from a lot of folks from 3M that you do a really good job of as you said or alluded to, equalizing pay if they're deployed, having someone, some other 3M employees there to watch out for the families while they're gone, and of course as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, participating in those community efforts to take care of our veterans, our service members deployed, and their families.
Yes, absolutely. So as everybody that has been in the military knows, usually when you go to a location, when your family stays home, usually a person of your unit, what we would call a sponsor, would support your family while you were gone. Well, in the areas where we don't have a lot of that, or the Reserve or Guard are separated from a lot of military units, that's where our families step in. And as a 3M family and military support, we support them and help them out.
And ever since Tim's been on the show from many years ago, it sounds like 3M does a really good job at taking care of the 3Mers. Yeah, but you also participate in the community at large. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
So, yes, we are part of several areas across the Minneapolis-St. Paul location. So we do have the golf tournament that we participate. We support other companies across the Minnesota-St. Paul area, to include, we have two companies right now that we're sponsoring. General Mills is one. They have a similar military support network. It is something that we support and mentor them to build it and make it more robust, as well as we are currently mentoring another program to stand up a military support network within their company. In addition to that, I myself stood up what we call a lunch and learn, and so for 3M employees in the local area, we provide local support within the VA or within the USO, and provide lunch and learns on VA benefits, on spousal benefits, what USO has to offer, anything that they need.
And Aaron, I want to come to you. I saw you a week or two ago. The Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Networks had a semi-annual event over at Allianz Life. And we were over there, and they convinced me to say a few words. I think I put you to sleep. I'm not sure. But that's an opportunity for all of the Yellow Ribbon companies to get together and trade best practices.
It was a fantastic event. It was really great to hear the other organizations come in, talk about what they're doing to help out veterans within their community, within their organizations, to be able to share our best practices as well. Some really great things we were able to take back to our company and kind of try to help keep helping veterans.
And built into that event, they had actual time slots where you could network with the other Yellow Ribbon companies, and there's like 80 of them now, I understand.
It was a very full house. I think there was over 100 people there. It was great.
So they filled up a good portion of that auditorium. Of course, Tim was there, but he ran away before I gave my speech. he didn't have to take a nap that day. That was a good event. Nikki, I'm sorry you're not here in the studio today, but you're stationed down in Texas with 3M, and I appreciate you calling in. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the 3M Military Support Network. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to 3M, which is a Yellow Ribbon company, and several members of the 3M Military Support Network. Nikki Pauly, who's the current chair, Aaron Vestola, who is the co-chair, and and you'll be the chair next year. And then we've got a past chair from many years ago, Tim McElroy. Tim, did you figure out how many years ago that was?
It was at least close to 10, but I'm not going to tell you exactly how many.
Well, I'm impressed you can remember back that far, Tim. That's pretty good. Nikki, if you could share with us again, can you explain to our listeners, what's the purpose of the 3M Military Support Network?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The purpose of our military support network, what Tim spoke about earlier when we started in 2009, the foundation of it is really to support our military community. That includes our families that are veterans and are actively serving. The support that we provide to them is camaraderie, gatherings, family togetherness, as well as support to anybody that needs it, whether it's transitioning back into 3M after being in the military, transitioning out of a deployment, or a family transitioning back together, as well as anybody that's a family support person that needs. We have yellow ribbon mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers that we understand what they're going through, and we'd like to support them in that.
And Aaron, have you seen evidence where we got people coming out of the military, joining 3M, and having a little trouble explaining their experience in the military in civilian terms, so you can figure out where's the best place to put them? How do we put them to work?
Yeah, I think we have a great mentoring network as part of 3M, to where those people who need help, we have points of connection that they could talk to within the organization. And it's something where you may, like a Marine or somebody who's coming out, may not think to explain something a certain way, so to help them make that transition. And then something we're working on in terms of the longer term horizon is to help interviewers at 3M understand how to pull that information from them. So maybe if they don't know how to speak to it, how do you get at the correct answer or help them get to the answer?
So, Aaron, when people join the workforce at 3M, do they self-identify as veterans?
We ask them to. Not everybody does, because I think a lot of veterans, they don't do it for selfish. Well, they want to serve, but they're not always the ones who identify that they have served. So we do have a mechanism to capture if they want to self-identify, but sometimes they do not.
Some of them just want to lay low, get the job done, and have at it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, I always say it's pretty easy to put in a full day's work when no one's shooting at you. A Marine should understand that.
Yeah.
Nikki, I think the Marines are having a pretty good time. Can you share with us how do you connect with the community outside of 3M? And I'm sure that's via the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and other Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies.
Yeah, so I will leave a lot of that to Tim to talk to, as he has been our most connected individual in our MSN working through the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But one thing that I know that I have had the joy of being able to be part of is we have set the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon team group has a lot of opportunities for 3M MSN participants to come in and help families and veterans in need, along with mowing their lawn in the summer if a family member's deployed, or shoveling snow in the winter. Along the same lines, we support other military support networks within other companies locally as well.
Tim, that sounds like the type of thing that happens at Yellow Ribbon Networks, communities. Companies taking care of the people within their jurisdiction, if you will. And you've been studying that for years, I know, because you go to these Yellow Ribbon networking events.
Yeah, it's true, Tom. I think one of the key elements of the support network, and this really has its roots in our executive sponsorship and the 3M Foundation, and that is, how do we go and support our community, the people that are living amongst us and yet representing a cross-section of our military services. So we look for those opportunities. It could be as simple as what Nikki indicated. We might be mowing lawns for individuals who have a deployed member. We could also be participating with the USO in a reading program. All those kind of various elements help us provide the assistance that these military service members and their families may need.
And Tim, traditionally you've gotten great support from the C-level at 3M.
Absolutely. Again, you know, it all started, our very first executive sponsor was the actual CEO of the company, George Buckley. And it's never diminished. We've always had just superior executive support in trying to, you know, provide, whether it's for our internal 3M military members or those who are serving around the world.
We're talking today about the 3M Military Support Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Aaron, I want to come to you. I heard you and Tim talking earlier about an event. I think there's a Memorial Day event coming up for 3M. Are there a lot of events over there throughout the course of the year?
So we try to focus on the events that we have to have major events. So we do a big celebration for Memorial Day and Veterans Day, both at the 3M Center, but then also at plants across the country. We have them highlighted. But then we've also had some of those great events like Nikki talked about earlier with the Lunch and Learns to kind of help veterans know things better. And then some of the plants will even do some of their own individual things where they may have a barbecue and get together and then kind of just rekindled being a veteran with one another.
So this all kind of comes back to good executive support, and let's take advantage of this, and let's allow our 3M employees who are veterans to do the things that they might appreciate doing.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's a fantastic thing for the veterans to be able to get together and talk about things outside of work.
Nikki, what are 3M's plans for the future to continue supporting military-connected employees and the state's military community?
So one of the things we've been working on for the past year or so and we're engaging with is there's a nonprofit called Team Red, White, and Blue. We partnered with them as a corporate sponsor in a way that we have our own Team Red, White, and Blue group out within their application. So Team Red, White, and Blue is focused on mental and physical health of veterans transitioning out of the military. And so one of the things, as we've seen as 3M employees and 3M chairs, is we've seen a lot of our transitioning military have that struggle in the first couple of years, and our Team Red, White, and Blue partnership helps us put together, you know, camaraderie events like a Team 5K or a bowl-a-thon or something along those lines. It helps us mentally and physically tune in with our brethren. Another thing that we're following this year as well is we're attempting to do a initial military support-focused bowl-a-thon that sponsors. It's a nonprofit fundraiser that we're trying to do to support the USO and the locations where our plants are. So every team would be able to take a day or half a day and go bowling, and all of our donations would be supported and matched by 3M and then given out to the USO location of our choice where the plants are. So those are one of the big things that we want to do about giving back.
Thank you, Nikki. Tim, I want to come to you. We just got a couple of minutes left, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the fantastic support we get from 3M and the 3M Military Support Network of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic for 14 years, Tim.
It's hard to believe. We were talking earlier, and we were both young men back then.
Younger, that's for sure.
Well, we've always just enjoyed being a part of the foundation and a hosting sponsor for the golf tournament. But I think what caught you off guard one year was the first year that it was held was at Deer Run, I believe. And after the tournament, I said, Tom, how would you like to have a free golf course? And we also have 27 holes, too. And at the time, 3M had a golf course, Tartan Park. And we were fortunate enough, again, because of our executive sponsorship, to be able to donate the golf course to the foundation for 5 years, which I know was greatly appreciated.
You did surprise me. It was the end of the first tournament, first ever golf tournament for MMFF. We just raised about net $50,000, and you came up to me afterwards and said, Tom, what do you think? I'm going, well, I got to talk to the board. Okay, we're in.
Sold.
And we were over there until 3M decided to sell that, and we've been up at Bunker Hills. But 3M's been a major sponsor of that tournament for 14 years, and along with a lot of other sponsors, but with a lot of help from 3M and 3M Military Support, we've done a pretty good job to take care of our military families. The MMFF now has given out over 2,300 grants totaling $5 million.
That's incredible, Tom.
To help with financial emergencies. And as you know, Tim, it allows those veterans that are deployed to focus on the mission and get home safe. We got their backs. We're taking care of their families here. And I just want to thank 3M and the 3M Military Support Network for helping us all along that voyage.
It's our honor. It really is.
Well, Nikki and Aaron and Tim, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today, and it's been a pleasure to talk about 3M and your MSN, your Military Support Network. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. We truly appreciate it.
That was Nikki Polly, the chair of the 3M MSN, Aaron Vestola, who is the co-chair and next year's chair, and Tim McElroy, the past chair of the 3M MSN. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and learn how they take good care of our veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Have you served honorably? Are you a Minnesota resident? And are you interested in higher education? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for education benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill program provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans, non-veterans who have served in the military, and eligible spouses and children. The purpose of this bill is to get Minnesota veterans back to work. The plan starts with education, and the first step is finding the financial assistance available to get them there. For full eligibility requirements, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, we're going to talk today about the patient experience at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and understand there's a Patient Experience Week 2023 coming up. Amy Archer is the Chief Experience Officer, Associate Director at the Minneapolis VA, and she has worked at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center since 1998. Amy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's going to be fun to talk about how you're managing the patient's experience there at the VA, but I want to go back to 1998 and a little bit before that. I understand that you were trained in social work.
Yes, I was. I received my Bachelor of Arts in Social Work and Psychology from Luther College. I worked as a social worker for a few years at community hospitals in the Minneapolis area, and then I decided to go back and get my master's degree in social work from the University of St. Thomas. And my master's level internship was at the Minneapolis VA, so the rest is history. I loved the experience so much in my internship, and I was lucky enough to be hired in 1998.
So you got a small taste of it while you were there and decided this might be a good place to stay and help folks.
Absolutely. I loved my experience at the VA as a student and really wanted to be a part of the mission of the VA and in serving our veterans. It's an incredibly rewarding place to work.
So, Amy, until recently, were you working in various positions as a social work executive to help our veterans?
Yes, yes, I was. I worked as a social worker from 1998 until about 2009. I had a few leadership positions in social work in that time, along with working in multiple clinical areas of the medical center. And then I took over as the social work executive and served in that role since 2022. So I was in that role for about 13 years and then was selected as the Chief Experience Officer, Associate Director early last summer in 2022.
Congratulations on that. I want to back up just a second. As a social worker at the VA, what were you doing to help our veterans?
Oh, so many things. I was actively involved in meeting with our patients to see what services we could provide for them in their homes to increase their quality of life. Also worked with their family members and caregivers. So whether the service was maybe increased home care needs, maybe they needed Meals on Wheels delivered, and sometimes we were, you know, meeting with families, unfortunately, and veterans to maybe deliver, you know, not so great news about their health condition, but then working with them to get them back home if we can. And if we weren't able to get them, you know, back to their home environment, we were arranging care within the community. And we just have a breadth of resources available to our veterans within the Minneapolis, frankly, the VA healthcare system. So it's a wonderful place to be a social worker because there are so many resources and services that we can utilize to help our veterans live live the best quality of life that they can.
So as a social worker, after your doctors have helped with the physical or mental issues, then you try to help them find the new normal and how to live as full a life as they can with whatever issues they're saddled with going forward.
That is correct. That is correct. And we provide a lot of ongoing services as well. So if there's maybe an increase in home care services, or there's an additional resource that maybe they are needing within the VA or the community, we have social workers available to assist with that. We have at this time, I think, about 170 social workers within our system that are able to assist our veterans. And they're a very busy group of people.
I'm sure they are. We're speaking with Amy Archer, who is the Chief Experience Officer at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Amy, can you give us an overview of the patient experience, now that you've been taking the position since June of 2022? What is? Give us an overview of that. What does that mean? What are you trying to do?
Sure, happy to. So within the VA, on a national level, the VA has an office called the Veteran Experience Office. And that office supports VA facilities across the system to improve the patient and customer experience. So that is our veterans, their family members, caregivers, to improve the experience across the board. So they coordinate a variety of data resources that we use in terms of gaining and monitoring feedback from our veterans. So our veterans will have surveys sent out to them, you know, post inpatient hospitalization, or maybe they came into primary care or maybe a specialty care appointment, and we send them a survey to gain their feedback about their experience. So we receive those results from those surveys, and we make improvements based on the feedback that we receive. So there are particular evidence-based tools that have been used at other VAs that then we will implement within our system to improve the patient experience. And you had mentioned that just over this past week, we had Patient Experience Week, and that was a week for us to celebrate our veterans as well as celebrate and thank our staff. So we had a variety of activities for our veterans in appreciation of them this week, again, as well as our staff. So we have top-notch dedicated staff within our facility and our community-based outpatient clinics. And I don't want to leave out, we have a homeless program downtown Minneapolis as well that serves a lot of our veterans. So we serve a lot of veterans within our system. So we have a lot of veterans to thank for their dedicated service in addition to our staff.
So, Amy, I'm a patient at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system at the medical center there, and I would think that without the many, many, many volunteers that you have out there, it'd be pretty hard to take care of those patients and keep them all happy.
Yes, absolutely. We have right now, I think, just shy of 1,000 volunteers within our Minneapolis VA system, and we absolutely could not take care of our veterans without these volunteers. And we actually had a number of volunteers this week participate in our patient experience activities. So everything from serving coffee to our veterans and greeting them and thanking them for their service this week. So I agree, we absolutely could not do it without them. Their services are invaluable to the care that we provide.
And I know you sometimes refer to them as the red vests, and you're always looking for more.
Yes, we are. We are always looking for more red vest volunteers. They are the first volunteers that our veterans and visitors see when they walk through the front door of the medical center.
So, Amy, the director has told me you've got over 100,000 veterans that come to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center for help. And do a lot of those veterans send back the feedback via these surveys? Do you get a good percentage that'll take the time?
Oh, great question. We do have a fairly high response rate, but we actually are focusing right now on how to get the word out even more to our veterans so that we can increase the response rate. So we have a couple of ideas in mind to increase the response rate within our medical center, as well as our patients who are being seen at our community-based outpatient clinics.
Very good, Amy. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Amy Archer, who is the Chief Experience Officer at the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Amy Archer, who is the Chief Experience Officer and Associate Director at the Minneapolis VA, about the patient experience there and the recent experience week. And, Amy, we were talking about these surveys because you need feedback from the veterans that have been treated at the Minneapolis VA. When they complete a patient satisfaction survey, what do you do with the responses? Are they heard? Are they addressed?
Yes, absolutely. They are addressed. When we receive positive feedback from our veterans, which I think is just as important to share and address, because that tells us that, you know, we're doing a really good job in maybe a particular department or an area or a service that we provide, we make sure to share those with the department and the staff. That is just really important for the staff to know that the work that they are doing is making a difference. If the comment or the experience is negative, we will personally, you know, we will reach out to that veteran and we will talk to them about their experience. So that is usually our patient advocacy department that will do that reach out. And they will certainly try to resolve the issue for the veteran. I would say most of the time we are able to resolve those issues no problem. And then we also track and trend that feedback. So if there is a particular area that maybe we need to make some improvements in, then we will work with that area and communicate with that area and provide assistance wherever we can.
Amy, the last few years have been challenging years. We had to work through a worldwide pandemic, and technology is changing ever faster. I know as a patient at the Minneapolis VA, I love the my opportunity to go online and communicate with my doctors and order prescriptions and do those things. But technology is changing every day. The COVID changed things. How is that affecting you as far as going moving forward? I know we learned some valuable lessons and found some new tools that are pretty good.
We have learned some valuable lessons. Yeah, I think it has been maybe, if we can call it a silver lining of COVID, we have a lot of veterans that really love the telehealth services, love to receive the services in the comfort of their own home, and maybe not have to travel. The VA has done an excellent job at bringing the care closer to veterans with the number of community-based hospitals. Outpatient clinics that we have, but still we have a lot of veterans who really want to talk to their provider in the comfort of their own home. And honestly, that's, I think, maybe been a little bit of a surprise to us, but it's a service that we are continuing to utilize, and we are continuing to expand those services, and we are able to do amazing care virtually for our veterans.
So, Amy, it seems like we've got more choices, more tools available, and yet a lot of the veterans still like to come there, and courtesy of the DAV of Minnesota, there's a lot of vans and a way to get those veterans to and from their appointments in case they need to be there in person.
Yes, there is. We have an amazing network of drivers within our Veteran County Service offices, as well as the DAV, that continue to bring veterans to their appointments. Because, as you said, we have a lot of veterans that still want to come to the VA to receive their care. They really appreciate the community that we have here within the medical center and being with other veterans.
So, Amy, are we starting to get a little bit back to normal? I understand we don't all have to wear masks anymore.
At our Minneapolis VA and our CBOX, we are still asking veterans and visitors to mask. But I think we are getting back to a bit of a new normal. I'm happy to say that our COVID numbers are down with the number of patients that are being admitted to the hospital. So that is excellent to see.
Well, Amy, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us today a very interesting position you're in, Chief Experience Officer, trying to keep all those veterans happy. I want to wish you luck at that. It's a big, big job, but sounds like you're doing a wonderful job of it.
Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure to be with you today and to share information about the VA. And if there are veterans that are listening to this, please talk to your Veteran County Service Officer. Call the VA. We would be happy to talk with you about possible eligibility and enrollment.
Very good. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
That was Amy Archer, the Chief Experience Officer, Associate Director at the Minneapolis VA and Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Command Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Tom. Happy to be back on.
Glad to have you on, even though we don't know if you're calling in from Minnesota or the United States or Croatia or anywhere, but Command Chief gets to move around.
Yeah. I'm at an Air Force Senior Enlisted Leader Summit out here in Leesburg, Virginia.
Very good. Thanks for ducking out of the meetings to talk to us.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about an event, I think, that happened up at Camp Ripley. Did they have something called Denim Day?
Well, Tom, let me tell you, it happened all over the state. So if you ever check out Instagram or the Facebook pages, you'll see from the Minnesota National Guard pages that there was Cottage Grove Joint Force Headquarters, 148th Fighter Wing, Camp Ripley, of a few, just to name, that participated in Denim Day. And that's really just an awareness day that we have in support of our sexual assault response coordinators. They coordinate this every year. And, of course, if you don't know the story, just briefly, it's about a young gal in Spain in 1992 experienced a rape. And in 1999, the courts overturned the findings and said because she had a pair of jeans on, she had to help take her pants off. So it's just one of those sad stories, and so we do this in remembrance and in solidarity that, hey, we remember those things that have happened and how we have to stop them. So it's really good. It's a good thing to remember and to take a look at. And, of course, this has been the Sexual Assault Awareness Month, all month, so you've probably seen teal everywhere because that's their color. And if you go to any of the armories, you'll see a lot of teal information that they have out there. So.
And we did have two of your coordinators on the show last week talking about sexual awareness and all the resources available to help anyone that was unfortunate enough to be involved in that to recover and move forward.
Absolutely, yeah. We're TAG is that's one of his big priorities is taking care of the victims and making sure that we expedite all processes and give them the care and resources that they need.
And Chief, that leads into another resource for the Minnesota National Guard, and that's the Chaplain Corps. I understand there's a special breakfast coming up.
So we are on May 4th. We're going to have a prayer breakfast at the Cedar Street Armory at 7 in the morning, and it's hosted by the Adjutant General himself. So I believe this might be one of the first times he's been able to do this. He's been able to host a prayer breakfast, and we're all excited. We've all accepted our invites to this, and I know we'll have some good breakfast foods from a local diner somewhere in the metro area. Not sure Chaplain Wynn was working that. And, so we're all going to get together and just come together, you know, as a community and pray for our nation, our state, and all of our armed forces.
And Chaplain Wynn will do a great job of that, Chief.
Yeah, and, of course, our leaders. You know, we'll talk, say some prayers for all of our leaders.
Yes, ma'am. There's also, I understand you've determined who the Outstanding Airman of the Year is, or is that coming up?
Yes. So we held the boards earlier this year, and now we're finally able to recognize them all. Both the wings are so busy, it's hard to get them to take a knee and do something to recognize their airmen. But on the 6th of May, we will be hosting them at Joint Force Headquarters, and General Blomquist and General Mankey will be honoring them in a ceremony. So it'll be a Master Sergeant Matthew Carlson from the 133rd, Technical Sergeant Morgan Johnson from the 133rd, Senior Airman Tim Rowe from the 148th, Master Sergeant Ben Reardon from the 148th, and then Captain Justin Boucher from the 148th. So a little bit of 148th, a little bit of 133rd. We're going to get a chance to recognize them, and they will host them at a luncheon, and it'll be a good day.
The Outstanding Airman of the Year. Love it.
Yep.
Chief, Best Warrior competition, is that still going on?
Well, you know, last time we talked, I was out there. And, well, you know, we had two winners. And so now Command Sergeant Major Whitehead is going to take them out to Ohio first part of May to their next competition. So Specialist Semp and Staff Sergeant Krefeld, both are from the 2135. They are going to be competing at the regional Best Warrior competition to hopefully move forward to the national one.
Well, that'll be pretty exciting, and hopefully they move forward and make a mark.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And of note, we have a couple soldiers right now over in Croatia also participating in an international competition. So Croatia hosts the Best Warrior competition, and they invite our winners or who we want to send, and so we sent two people over there as well. They're actually there this week. So there's a lot of travel going on, a lot of competitions, but, you know, that's what we do. We like to recognize our soldiers and our airmen as many times as we can for the good work that they do.
Chief, thanks for joining us again today.
Yep, happy to do it.
That was Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, Senior Enlisted Leader of the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. We have one mention today. The St. Thomas Academy is hosting the Wall It Heals in Mendota Heights, Minnesota, from May 26th to the 29th. This 24-hour-a-day, three-quarter scale replica of the Vietnam Memorial and Education Center will be on display. Please consider serving as a volunteer for this event. Information is available at cadets.com/wall-it-heals. That's cadets.com/wall-it-heals. They need some volunteers from May 26th to May 29th. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Amy Archer from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Nikki Pauly, Aaron Vostola, Tim McElroy from the 3M Military Support Network, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota National Guard Special Emphasis Programs and the SOAR program to help homeless vets. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.